Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We have a great show for you today. And as you know, this show will be aimed like all our other things that we do. We're trying to free America one enslaved mind at a time, but we need your help. So because this is on a digital platform, please share this far and wide. Okay? Listen, we've got to reach people and wake them up. We have well over half the country awake in what's going on. They know what the Biden crime family, they know about stolen elections, they know all this. But we got to move them to action. We got to bombard them. You need to make them see there's no way out of this. We're really close to subjugation. If CBDC comes in, it's game over. So please help us in that endeavor. We are brought to you by Noble Gold. And I'm so proud to be associated with Noble Gold, but I'm also thankful. Why? Because the banks are going to fail at some point. If you're in there, it's going to be your 1929, just like what happened to my mom's side of the family when she was a small child. They went from riches to rags. That's why I have a conservative streak in me. Everything was, be careful. Be careful, Dave. Be careful, son. Okay, and so I grew up not wanting debt, and my wife didn't want debt, and it was a marriage made in heaven. And we've really benefited from that discipline. But I don't want your kids to have to go through this, so Noble Gold can actually carve you out of place. And they can carve you out of place to where you can get control of your retirement. Right now, the banks, if they own it, they can take it anytime they want. Dodd-Frank 2010, look it up. They can also save your bank account. They're going to back up what you do with gold. Gold has lost 85% of its value. Not gold. Gold's kept its value while dollars basically just bombed. 85% of the dollar is gone since the 1980s. Why would you keep your money in a bank that has that bad a track record? Let me send you an information packet that will explain everything Noble Gold does. No one's going to harass you, no obligation. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com, or you can call 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. Well, we have a terrific show for you today. We have Jeffrey Prather, former major in Spec Ops. Oh, he did the big things that Spec Ops do. He was in the DEA. He was in the DIA as an intelligence analyst. He's a man's man. And he's just like what we see in the movie Sound of Freedom. Sound of Freedom. You know what he did? He goes and rescues kids, just like what we see. And you're saying, my goodness, Dave, does he really do that? Yeah, he really does that. He goes out on his own with his team, and they save kids from child sex trafficking. We're going to talk about that with him today. The movie Sound of Freedom has gone nuts. They've gone absolutely crazy with the money they're making. And they're not bragging, but they're just saying, we're so glad that people are waking up to this terrible victimization of our most precious, precious members of humanity, our children. A year ago, it was announced by DHS that 85,000 kids, migrant kids are missing. Ah, they're just migrants. Who cares? I care. They're children of God. I'm a Christian. I serve Jesus. And he would be profoundly disappointed in me if I looked at those kids anything other than what they are, precious. And the Bible gives a warning. And I hope Biden and his ilk are listening. Better to tie a millstone around your neck than to ever harm a child. Bingo. Oh, my goodness gracious. Is that ever true? Tremendous truth in that. So we're going to be talking to Jeffrey. He also has knowledge across a lot of fronts involving the cartel that's involved in this, the open borders, which are involved in this. So we're going to hit it all. It's going to be an exciting, exciting show. But also, I need something else I need to talk to you about, and that's what's going on in Maui. And I have taken a position. Hear me and hear me clearly on this, ladies and gentlemen. Please. Hang on every word. The attack on Maui was just what I said. It was a false flag attack. We don't have the residue, the thermite, and so forth that you'd get from directed energy weapons because they're not letting anybody in one rainfall, and that's all gone. But let's just look real quickly at what we do have. We have the governor suspending the development council on Maui that was keeping big developers at bay. And I've seen a map at the State of Hawaii website that shows a circle, semicircle around Kaanapali, all the other towns. They're exempted from development. They're the only thing that's left. This is crazy. Developers wanted this. And if you don't think I'm right, the governor suspended the council, so developers had free hand to come in. Not only that, ladies and gentlemen, it's all over their website. Jeff Bezos offered $100 million to build a smart city. It's a 15-minute city, UN crap. There was no warning from the sirens, no warning from the cell phones that should have got warnings, no warning whatsoever. There wasn't water in the fire hydrants, as now the firefighters are telling us. How much more do we have to see? They're driving up the death toll intentionally by denying life-saving medications. People haven't had their insulin. They don't have their heart medication. They don't have their cancer treatment drugs. They don't have anything. They want people to die. Why? Because there were no heirs to a property and the whole family's dead. The relatives in the mainland are going to sell the property to developers. That's why. And they're still denying life-saving care. This is absolutely horrendous what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. This was a false flag, and we need to sing it loud and clear. Okay, on that note, we're going to go to our guest, Jeffrey Prather. It's going to be a terrific show. Thanks for joining us. Hello, everybody. Dave Hodges here on the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. But because we're digital, please share this far and wide. And we have a short amount of time, I believe, to wake up the sleeping masses, because I think lockdowns are coming soon, and hold another topic for another time. But ladies and gentlemen, we are racing the clock. So please do your part. We have a really important show. And as many of you know who followed me for years, I've been passionate about child sex trafficking. And when I get interference broadcast wise, it's usually on a topic like this. And so that happens. We'll get around it. We have backup systems, but we have Jeremy Prather with us, and he's intelligence officer for ampnews.us. And he has an incredible background. He's done military work, spec ops, as a former major. He's worked in DEA, DIA intelligence and analysis, and he rescues beleaguered kids, like what you saw in that tremendous movie, Sound of Freedom, which is just shattering all expectations for box office. And God bless those people for having the courage to do this. Jeremy, it's indeed an honor. And I don't say that to everybody we have on, but it's an honor to have someone of your stature on here and what you do. You could be out making a lot more money doing other things, yet you're choosing to risk your life to go out and rescue kids. I'll let you decide what our jump on point is. Where do you want to start?
Well, thanks for having me, Dave. It's Jeffrey, by the way.
Okay.
And I have done some child rescue. I have a very similar background to Tim Ballard in that he was CIA, I was DIA, he was DHS, I was DEA. He spent a decade on the border. I spent a decade on the border. And so there's a lot of background there, but really glad to be on with you. Have admired your work for a long time as a fellow Arizonan, and appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, we're going through a tough time here in Arizona right now. There's no question. We're certainly suffering, but you're in Tucson, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, I have been for a long time. Yes.
Well, congratulations. You're in one of two American cities that have been dubbed to be 15-minute cities. So I know you're probably not hearing that. I had to really dig to get that, but they passed that resolution with the city council back in March. But anyway, to the pot topic of what we're going to talk about here, it's your contention that the U.S. government is a participant at some level with regard to child trafficking. Is it an active participant? Is it a participant through negligence? Both? What do you think?
No, I think it is active. And I think I can show the analyzed information, which is intelligence, and the evidence, which is fact-based information that is available in court. And this kind of goes back to my time as a special officer in 4th PSYOP group when I was on active duty in the 80s. And because I was a PSYOP officer and I commanded an airborne operational detachment, I attached to the Rangers and to 7th Special Forces Group all the time. We went to Honduras on the edge of Nicaragua. So I ran into the Contras and the CIA. And then later on, I was in Panama and working on a special project and got called in to the SOC South commander. And the big question of the meeting was, who was briefing the new SYNC South commander, is, are we going to end up before Congress like Ali North has? Because Ali North was running an illegal Contra cocaine cache via the CIA operation, an illegal covert operation. And we weren't. From that covert operation, really, inadvertently, I think, initially, the Clinton cartel of death was built in Mena, Arkansas, because the CIA and the intelligence community got all this black money. But I saw that very clearly. And then I went over to the Drug Enforcement Administration as a special agent in 1990, left active duty, because I'd actually ran into DEA snowcap teams there in Panama. But I clearly saw what the CIA was doing, and that is off the books money. They already get plenty of off the books black budget money.
Where'd that money come from, Jeffrey? Where'd that money come from?
That came from the CIA via running like Barry Seal, who also served in special forces, transporting cocaine for the CIA into Mena, Arkansas, when Clinton was governor there, and then being distributed throughout the country. So that's, you know, there's been movies. Tom Cruise has made movies about this, although yes, they didn't show that he had been special forces. But clearly, the CIA has run drugs. They even went into black neighborhoods to have discussions with black neighborhoods to discuss and apologize for what they were doing. So fast forward to my time in the DEA, and I spent a lot of time on the border. I was also the liaison to ATF. And in 03, I was activated for the second Gulf War to run the DIA's Global Intelligence Center, which left my informant, one of my informants, kind of in the wind. And an extradition package was outed to the Mexican government, which really revealed his identity. And this was for the first extradition of Miguel Cara Quintero, the first of the cartel chiefs, the Sinaloa cartel chiefs. And his brother and he tortured and murdered our agent, Kiki Camarena. I'm sure in Arizona, you know this story very well. It's very infamous. And so I got called over. I had staff at the Pentagon. I had staff at Clarendon, but the DEA headquarters is right across from the Pentagon. So I went over there. I went up to the chief that runs confidential informants. And he was like, hey, your informant is suing the head of the administration, Michelle Leonard. And I'd worked with Michelle when she was a DOJ attorney. I said, nah, this is the $5 million State Department reward. I've paid him multiple $250,000, which is the lifetime cap, by the way, for a DEA CI, which shows you that they're not really serious. Because if you're dealing with really high level stuff, $250,000 is not much. But anyway, I also made the offhand remark that she had really destroyed my case, because I wanted the extradition to happen because these guys live like kings in their jail palaces in Mexico and Central America. And so this was a sea change. But instead of paying him 10 grand a month, all the way up through extradition, through trial, through conviction, through incarceration, she had me pay these big amounts. So he had no real incentive. And as I worked this big cases, and I've worked lots of big cases, I've had a 10,000 pound marijuana seizure in Animas, New Mexico. I've had a 2,000 pound a cocaine seizure in Nogales. I worked a lot of big cases. I found the biggest problem was the government, our government, and the DEA. And right after I left, they started coming after me. And I was 19 years on the job when they finally fired me, but they built this whole system of lies about me. I've never been charged nor convicted of anything, but the template that they used against President Trump and the template they used against General Flynn is exactly the same template they used against me. And that's to kill the messenger for bringing the message. And the message was, and I didn't even know this at the time, but I figured this out eventually, is in exchange for the Fast and Furious guns going south, which were never tracked, there was no way, there was no chain of evidence. So therefore, there could not be any case with them ever. It was simply the government making the ATF run guns because that's what Obama and Hillary wanted. They wanted that script to fit. In exchange for that, the DEA had a deal with the Sinaloa cartel to run drugs north. And in the Niebla Zambada federal trial in Chicago,
I know this.
The agents raised their hands and said under oath, yeah, we had a deal. So I've just shown you the deep state's dark economy running guns, running drugs. Yeah. And now I can go to the port where.
I want to say just one thing before you leave the Niebla trial in Chicago. I was unaware of that until 2014, and I was writing about Central American migration at the time. It was the first big push, and I had a DEA confidential source who was really unhappy with what was going on. He had the misfortune of working for Steinkampf in Peru, and I got the up and down about how corrupt he was. But what I learned about the Niebla trial was they had an 80-20 agreement. 20% of the drugs could be interdicted, and 80% of the drugs had to be left untouched. And he was using that as a defense to get off. And as you said, government agents basically validated that claim.
And I would have walk-in informants on the border who would come in, and they start saying, hey, I'm going to give up this cartel. And I'm like, wait a minute, are you with a cartel? And they're like, well, yeah. I'm like, well, I can't do that with you because then I'd be an accomplice if I would go to trial. So when we do an undercover reverse, if I don't take the drugs off, and this is what John Dotson, the ATF whistleblower in Fast Furious, tried to do. If we don't take the drugs off or we don't take the guns off, then when they go to trial, they're like, well, how are you different than the guy you're trying to convict? You're an accomplice. And so the U.S. government is now running drugs and running guns. So let me back up and say, Fast and Furious was an international covert gun running operation. I know what federal covert gun operations are like. They're called SARCs, Special Activity Review Committees. Most of them never make it. They don't make it. But Fast and Furious was an international covert gun running operation by the deep state for the dark economy. Benghazi was an international covert gun running operation. Syria was an international gun running operation. And so was Afghanistan on a huge scale. And so now is Ukraine. And those guns are now coming across the border through the cartels. The last time I was on Fox or Laura Ingraham was when they were excluding the two AK-47s from the Brian Terry murder trial. And I said, why would you exclude the weapons from the murder trial unless you're trying to cover something up? And then I started to talk about Eric Holder and emails going to the White House. And that was my last appearance on Laura Ingraham and Fox.
That would also bring in our illustrious Secretary of State here in Arizona, Adrian Fontes. I've got it on very reliable authorities out of California. He was the attorney of record for the cartel members that killed Agent Brian Terry. And he's got all kinds of illustrious, let's say, a questionable relationships with the cartel. Even Kerry Lake has talked about his cartel connection. So very, very interesting that we're kind of touching parallel sources here. So the gun running, does it run in combination with drugs and kids? I've been told that if you have one, you usually have all three.
Yes, it's exactly that. And so because these are rat lines of transportation hubs, so there's nothing new about this. The tunnels, I've done operations under the Nogales border in the tunnels, across at the very edge, over, flying over with the federal. Some of the most dangerous ops I ever did was working with the federales and judiciales to go after narcos there. But yeah, that all runs together. So that's what I call the dark economy of the deep state. And the deep state is really the double government, which is really the intelligence community, which I was a part of for a long time. And remember, JFK was going to get rid of the CIA.
Yes.
And so there's now RFK has come out and said, oh, yeah, the CIA was involved in that. It's pretty obvious there were multiple sniper teams involved. And so these agencies under the executive branch, and I worked in all of them, military, federal law enforcement and intelligence, want to ensure their survival. And, you know, I was naive when I came out of the military. But every year they ask for more money. And they hoard it at the beginning of the year. And then at the end, they spend it all. I was a firearms guy. And at the end of the year, they're like, hey, you want bullets? You want guns? I can't get anything in the beginning of the year. And at the end of the year, because they always want a bigger budget. So the Drug Enforcement Administration isn't interested in drug law enforcement. It's interested in propagating itself. We see that right now in Afghanistan when the Taliban has out-narked the DEA and wiped out the poppy fields with guys with sticks. And so that's basically over. So that leads me to the dark economy. And again, the deep state is the double government. It's really the intelligence community that's really running things, in my estimation. And yeah, we can talk about the Pilgrim Society and the Bilderbergs and the WEF, but really it's the international intelligence agencies, Five Eyes, Seven Eyes, that link and share intelligence to ensure their own survival, as the CIA did through the Contras and cocaine that has really gotten out of control now.
Jeffrey,
the other part of that is children and people.
Yeah. Is it safe to say that the open border, one of the major goals, is to facilitate these industries?
Totally.
Knowingly doing, not as a byproduct with negligence being the excuse, but knowingly doing this for the express purpose of trafficking kids.
No, completely. And so then to go into the human part, so the dark economy is people, drugs, and weapons. The easiest way is children, because America and Europe are now awash. They are drenched in drugs. There's so much drugs going on. So now the next product is children. And why children? Well, children grow up. They can be raped repeatedly, sold repeatedly. And they walk themselves across the border, or they can go into container ships. So it is the darkest, most evil part of this. But again, Senior Special Agent Ted Gunderson, who ran the LA division of the FBI, verified there were tunnels under the McMartin School and did the investigation on the child trafficking. It's in the FBI files. You can get them. It's in the FBI's own files. Just like the DEA admitting they had a deal with the Sinaloa cartel, the FBI's files show this, that there were tunnels. Archaeological reports say that. And there were finders, guys, contracted to the CIA running kids as well. So I'm not saying every agent. There were Garrett O'Boyle recently, Army veteran and very brave whistleblower coming out. And my friends, Vince Cefalu, John Dotson, and ATF, brave whistleblowers, more whistleblowers coming out. But at the higher up level, the Special Executive Service, which is never agents in whatever field they're in, Comey never graduated from the FBI Academy. Strzok never graduated from the FBI Academy. They come in and then they use these overseas rat lines that they have control of to run children, drugs, and weapons.
When I came across this, I had a whistleblower from HSBC. He used to be a senior VP, former Army veteran, and he has been on my show 3 times. And he maintains he uncovered a big money laundering operation, got fired for it eventually. And he got minimal cooperation with minimal prosecution. But he told me James Comey, former FBI director, was working with HSBC out of the UK and was aligned with Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation for the express purpose of running drugs, kids, and so forth. Are you aware of this?
Yes, I certainly am.
Okay.
And I really salute American Media Periscope for supporting Operation Underground Railroad.
Yes.
The whole point of this is Jim Caviezel finally did the breakthrough. We finally breached the deep state's cover of this, because, you know about Ted Gunderson and you know what I'm talking about.
But I do.
Most people still don't. It needed to be put into a format that people would have really well done, well acted, and based on true events, not all, there's an amalgamation there. There's some criticism of Tim Ballard as being kind of a star, but I actually think that helps. I think actually finally getting that out there is actually an important aspect of that. And so we need to expand this breach so that we can rescue and recover our republic and restore it because it's totally fallen. And Arizona is the tip of the spear in this, again, because it's, you know, a center for all of this, a trafficking center.
We had two state senators have a battle, verbal battle, on the floor of the Senate, in which one of them alleged that the other one had threatened to kill him for exposing 500 missing kids in CPS that he believed were trafficked. I don't know if you recall that issue involving Sue Brophy and so forth, but we are at the tip of the spear. I guess what I'd like to know is how prevalent is this in the operations, lives, professional duties of both in Arizona state government officials, including the elected ones, and also in the halls of Congress, because you're still not hearing them talk about it.
Now, so years ago, I did a pilot show on the border there for the Outdoor Network, which is, we were trying to highlight that. But again, we couldn't breach it. We just weren't big enough. But at the, even at that time, I was told that the cartels controlled at least two congressmen and a couple of senators as well. And I think there's a lot.
Is that at the federal level?
At the federal level, yes.
Federal level, okay.
Now, so to kind of get into the weeds, you know, Congressman Gozar used to work with me on ATF.
He's my congressman.
Stuff back in the day. Biggs, you know, I think there's a couple good ones in there. There's a lot of bad ones. And of course, Mike Gill has exposed how the cartel has paid off through real estate deals. So many of everyone.
Oh boy.
Really, you just got to think about it. It's up through Mexico, you know, through Nogales, through Tucson, through Phoenix. And then from Phoenix, it goes west to LA and east to, you know, Detroit, Chicago, New York. And so they have strong points. It's not just cartel guys with guns on the border. That's been happening forever.
Yes.
There's nothing new about that for all of us who have worked the border. And they have strong points throughout the country. While people have gotten used to the drug trafficking, they are not. We still have enough of a moral core that they are not used to the child rape that's occurring.
I agree.
That's really important to get out.
Which we really see why people are fascinated with Sound of Freedom. You brought up something here about the cartel influence, and I don't know if you're aware of this or not. Liz Harris has become a friend of mine. She was kicked out of the legislature for exposing voter fraud, but more importantly, what I call the Brager Report, the product of RICO investigator John Thaler, 120,000 pages covering 25 states, including Arizona, with 20,000 affidavits, and child trafficking was part of it. And the Sinaloas run money laundering operations with fake mortgage and real estate companies and take the money, and they groom lawyers to be judges, and they pay off a good number of people in various ways in state government. Are you familiar with that report, and do you give it any credibility?
I am, and I know Liz, and yes, I think that is very true. People think of the Zetas when they think about a cartel, and the Zetas are the particularly violent. They were trained at Benning. They were trained by special operations, just like we trained the Taliban as well. But really, who you got to look at is like La Familia cartel, which are much more business-like cartels behind the scenes. And so the DEA had to deal with the Sinaloa cartel. The government of Mexico, GOM, had to deal with La Familia cartel. But I think it gets even worse than that at this point, because I think these drug cartels have made international deals with our nation state enemies, China. That's where all the fentanyl products come to the western coast of Mexico to be assembled. And also then, I think it's also important to mention the global corporate cartels, which I really call out Pfizer and AstraZeneca and Moderna. Moderna just made inroads to China. So we have an array of enemies coming through, but Arizona's long been the tip of the spear. And through child protective services, so-called child protective, you know, Arizona, I'm sure you know, is the worst for child abuse of child protective services.
Yes.
Because they get paid for it as well. And so
you mean they get paid for every kid they snatch by the federal government, right?
Yeah. And they're taking them all the time. And they do that in conjunction with, and I had Tara Rodas, brave HHS whistleblower, saying, yeah, we're giving kids to traffickers, and they've stopped the DNA program. They've removed the child trafficking from the FBI website. So while I have worked with many great agents, including, you know, Miami gunfight FBI agent Ed Morales did undercover for me. We're both firearms instructors. You know, the SES and the upper management and even the middle area are all going along with this. CBP and ICE are really trafficking. They are still running. They're transporting people. There's right south of Tucson, there's camps. There's camps all over the place. And beyond that, they go into hotel rooms. From San Diego to New York, we're pitting Guatemalan and Honduran children who are supposed to find their campesino kids, great people, you know, but they're supposed to find their relatives in these big cities. They're going into individual hotel rooms. These are really becoming brothels in our own country. And we have to face that fact that we are headquarters central for not only just drug usage, but also child rape.
Okay. With regard to the hotels, are these major chains or are they flea bag motels or how would you categorize?
No, they're very nice hotels. They've been taken over mm-hmm. because the government is paying for them, but of course they're being destroyed. And again, this, everything I'm saying, you can research and find easily. There was a Hispanic hotelier in New York that was being interviewed by a young lady. I can't think of her name. And he said, yeah, they're leaving these 10-year-old kids in these hotels by themselves. There's drugs, there's booze. And really, this is just a covert brothel. This is what the deep state, which what I call Pedo Joe, I don't call him President Biden because he's always fondling and grabbing and sniffing and groping children. This is, and all you got to do is look at Ashley's dad shower diary and Hunter. And this is what they are encouraging. It looks a lot like ancient Rome. The American Empire, our fallen republic, looks a lot like the fallen republic of ancient Rome.
And you called it a fallen republic, and I agree. To kind of step aside from where we're going with trafficking, is there any road back that you see for our country?
Yes, I do. And I'm hope-filled and I'm faith-filled. I'm a chaplain. And Arizona's done a lot of great work. And Team America at JeffreyPrather.com, you know, I'm here for AmpNews.us, but at JeffreyPrather.com, you can join Team America. Team America Arizona has done a lot of election integrity work behind the scenes, working with a lot of groups and also across other places. But is it going to collapse? I want to delineate. Am I hope-filled? Yes. But is it going to collapse? Definitely. If you look at history, the fate of empires, for example, by Sir John Glubb, they last about 250 to 275 years before everybody figures out how they can just rip it off, which is where we're at exactly.
That's true.
And if you look at scripture, because again, I'm a Christian chaplain, ChristChaplaincy.com, with the activation of Israel as a state in a day, that activates revelations, end times happening. So the collapse is inevitable. They are collapsing it. Will we survive it? Certainly. The PSYOP, the mind virus of the pandemic, is an extinction level event, but we will survive it. But it's going to be very, very bad and very terrible. But I don't think it can be staved off. All I got to do is look at the 2020. You don't see the Dems or Biden doing any electioneering because they're not worried about electioneering.
I'm wondering if we're even going to have an election the way things are going. And the reason I say that, the mainstream media polls have Biden at 30%. People I talk to in polling say, Dave, it's probably really about 12%. And yeah, they can't cheat enough to win the next election. That's the prevailing view I'm getting. So I'm wondering if there's even going to be an election because they can't win it. That's why they don't bother to campaign.
No, there's going to be another crisis event. You know, I think Maui is very telling. All the officials are gone. The alarms don't go off. They've had alarms since Pearl Harbor. They wanted that land. The Air Force's Directed Energy Directorate is right there on Maui.
Yes.
It's pretty clear that they've already got plans to take all that land. Same thing that happened in Ohio. So they are carving up. If you look at the dictators of Rome, if you watch Rome or Domino or one of those series, you'll see these elite just carving up the country. And that's really what's happening right now. But the resistance is building daily. And that's very, very important. So I'm hope-filled. and I'm faith-filled, but it's I don't think it's going to happen through legal processes or through election integrity events. You know, Lindell's got his event going right now. You know, Mark Fincham's there.
Yes.
Shelby Bush is there. Other friends of mine are there. We really have to, what Team America is about is getting back to God, and Americans relying on God and each other and not corrupt government in DC, just like we stopped relying on corrupt government in Britain, really developing at the grassroots level. That's really important. And that's happening all across the country, and especially in Arizona.
Well, there it's interesting too, because I would just guesstimate here in Arizona, 65 to 70% of the populace is still conservative and they don't buy into this criminality, but we're being ruled by people who are part of it. Maybe I'm expressing it too strongly, but I see Bill Gates, Maricopa County, who used to be my student and we were very, very close for many years. He's changed. I look at Fontes, the Maricopa County Clerk and Recorder, Stephen Reicher. I look at Ducey's associations. I look at what Hobbs is being accused of taking $500,000 in Sinaloa payoffs. It's in the Brager report. I mean, our state government here has been totally compromised, Jeffrey.
And the other part of that is the child trafficking, besides having a satanic source for it. And I could go into that if you want, but it also is a good blackmail extortion. So that's really what they got with Hunter. So you lure them in and then you film them. Hunter's real stuff is not tax evasion. Hunter's real stuff is child rape. And then you film it. Remember, there were three laptops. One went to Trump. One went to the FBI. They buried that. One went to Pelosi saying, if this stuff comes out, then we'll out your connections. So that's how I'm an intelligence officer. I've run lots of informants. That's how it works. You infiltrate through espionage. You put a source inside the organization, and then once you're in, you can interdict it through sabotage. That's what the cartels do. That's what China does. That's what the World Economic Forum does. That's what the unrestricted warfare plan of the Chinese is. All of this is what we are against. So yes. America has had this array of nation state, non-nation state, and transnational criminal organizations, all arrayed, which all align and coalesce at different times. For example, Mexico with the fentanyl pre-products coming from China to then work together to destroy and infiltrate the country. But the problem with all that is, as they collapse it completely, then they collapse their own infrastructure. And that's really what we really saw in ancient Rome as well.
What do you mean they collapse the infrastructure? Are you saying our economy is too dependent on this to really wipe it out without economic consequences? Or is it that the supporting financial mechanism for these criminals that run our government, their infrastructure would collapse? Which would that be?
I'm saying both. So as they fund, so the Ukraine war, which is a tragic but managed war at a distance so that they can send money. We know that Sam Bankman-Fried, who, by the way, his avatar on Twitter had a heart within a heart, which is a boy rape symbol, was sending money to Ukraine, which was then back through money laundered back to the Dems. But when no systems work at all, then everything starts to collapse. As you know, Fitch just downgraded the U.S. credit rating from a AAA. Standard & Poor's did that a while back as well. China is losing. There's huge unemployment. They can't feed themselves because of their one-child policy. They're collapsing within a century, likely. So these are all the funders of the deep state economy. The WEF, the World Economic Forum, ESG is collapsing. McDonald's just got rid of ESG on their website.
Yeah.
So they are destroying themselves as they try and they take. I've seen this. I saw this, for example, in Nogales. Nogales, Arizona, Nogales, Sonora, nice little town, great little people, great families, you know, country families. Some of my best tactical instructors for my warrior school in Tucson were out of Nogales. But again, and everybody likes the drug money coming initially, But eventually they're like locusts. They eat everything up and they take over everything. And then there's nothing left. And so that's why we have to develop parallel structures amongst each other, amongst the faith-filled, the hope-filled, the godly, to have a moral structure, because America is about a moral structure.
I've been saying that the good people in our country need to mesh themselves in a parallel economy. Forsake yourself of the big box stores. Try to divorce yourself from government involvement as much as possible, as much as you can. And don't keep the lion's share of your money in the bank, because one day you'll lose it. I mean, this is what I've been advocating for, but I'm hearing you almost say the same thing. You know, it's kind of what we're commanded by the Bible, you know, you're in the world, but don't be of the world.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Again, if you put history, if you look at history and scripture, it's pretty evident what's happening. It's also pretty evident, you know, what we should be. So I say homework, home church, home school. And my kids were in a Christian school in Tucson, but I took them out because it went woke. And so we've got to do all of that together. And we are beginning to do that. But a lot of people, I think, are still thinking that there's somebody coming to the rescue. And there's nobody coming to the rescue. It's just up to us.
The one thing, if there's any hope for a rescue, and I'm not basing my hopes on this, but I've had some sidebar conversations, and I can't be too specific for obvious reasons, but I know there are commanders in the military below the Pentagon level and the Joint Chiefs that if we go to war with China, they're not following directions from Biden. And they are, I've been told by multiple sources that if they could execute a coup with the support of the people, maybe 3 out of 4 Americans would support it. They would consider doing such a thing. Are you familiar with that kind of thinking? And is it true or is it just hopium?
Well, so ever since Obama, and when Obama was in, I used to be on the James T. Harris show, you know, Black Conservative in Tucson. And I used to say, Obama's pimping kids. He's pimping kids from Honduras, Panama, Guatemala, places I worked, you know, but Biden has built that much higher. People would ask me, is the military going to do a coup? And I'd say, no, George Washington would turn over in its grave. The whole thing is that there is a civilian transfer of power. Now, 2020 was stolen. It's evident. So there wasn't a transfer of power. There was a coup. So if we're going to talk about that, it should be a counter coup.
Yes.
But I don't think that that is necessarily the case, because all you've got to do is look at Brazil. And I've worked Brazil. You know, I've said America is becoming like Venezuela. It's not going to be Mad Max. It's going to be Venezuela. The cops go around together. They protect the elites. Now we see marginales. We see real poor in America's streets. We never saw that before. We never had real poor before. But in Brazil, you saw the people rise up and you saw them ask the military to intervene. The people flooded in a J6 environment, but they weren't organized enough. And so then when they left, they simply started to round them up, like we've seen the counterinsurgency FBI round everybody up now. That's what the FBI and the DOJ is running, a counterinsurgency against the American people. There are certainly commanders who would not go to war with China, but I will assure you my assessment of we are definitely not going to war with China. We don't have the ammo. We don't have the troops. We don't have the diesel fuel. And we certainly don't have the moral fiber. I say we are already in a fourth world war. Global War on Terror, got my ribbon for that, was the third world war. And we're in a fourth generation resistance movement in our own country against our own government, against a fifth generation, which is a biodigital and information influence operation war. So it kind of gets deep, but those of us who study war and generations of war, a 5G war, it's even hard to tell you're in a war because it doesn't look like a war. The people aren't in uniforms. But if you look at Maui, if you look at the border, if you look at the organized logistical trains coming up through the Darien Gap and all the way up, these are troop movements. And they have a big tail to get everybody through there. It doesn't happen by accident. And we are highly involved in that. But the reason they're able to get away with it is because they just don't see it as what people think of war. People think of World War II as war, but war evolves just like culture evolves and civilization evolves.
I've been told by someone in Intel, and I have to be that vague, that it's his belief from what he's seen, and I think he's been in a position to see it. He said, thinking the best way to put this, that when people are trafficking kids and running drugs and guns, he said they're also using mercenaries like the cartel that will eventually be fifth column forces to attack the people of the United States. Do you agree with that assessment?
Well, totally, and I believe it's already happening. There have been a long time now military age fighting men coming across the border. When I work with the Contras, they infiltrated back into Nicaragua unarmed. You see that coming in now. Now you're seeing arms coming in. We've seen Chinese troops coming in. We've seen Chinese special ops troops coming in. So I differentiate the way they will be used. So a lot of the third world folks are coming in to work our fields to ensure that China and the other countries get their crops from us. China still needs our food, and China needs our market, which is problematic for them as well. The Chinese troops are to guard the fields, guard the marijuana fields. Lots of Chinese folks taken over from the Hmong. And then the shock troops, the spec op troops, are to seize nodes of communication and transportation, trucks, trains, and container ships, if need be.
Will this be like a Tet offensive, that it'll happen in one given night in a planned organization and planned operation?
No, I don't think so. Because again, the Tet offensive was unconventional warfare forces, guerrillas, going to the final phase of unconventional warfare, which is conventional warfare. And Tet offensives when they went conventionally, and we stopped them cold. Now, the PSYOP of Walter Cronkite was the Tet offensive was a success, but the actual battle was a failure. The conventional, and we're also seeing this with the drag tranny movement, is they're trying to go from a covert war to an overt war, but all across the country, from coast to coast, where Trantifa, as I call them, I call Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and Antifa, Blantifa. Trantifa picks up guns. The cops are shooting them. They are not able to make that final push. So, no, I don't think it'll look anything like the Tet Offensive. I think it is what is it called a gray war or a quiet war, just kind of continues to build. But if you go into any of our feral cities, it's a SOCOM term, you'll see the kinetic conflicts happening all the time, and that's to take the territory. But they're not in uniform, and they're not going to be in uniform. But every time there's an issue, like before the Supreme Court, you'll see right on time, you'll see Antifa show up, and then you'll see them get out of jail, because wherever they are not able to politicize and propagandize, then you'll see them bring in forces, covert forces. And so Antifa and Black Lives Matter and Trantifa are really like the Wagner group of America. And something I always like to say, reason why I'm not on Fox News, is I'll say Antifa.com goes to WhiteHouse.gov. Click on Antifa.com, take you right to WhiteHouse.gov. So it's the covert forces for kinetic pressure whenever required.
Interesting. It's going to take a divine miracle to rescue this country, because you're making it sound like it's death by a thousand cuts as opposed to one big push.
Well, again, I believe in divine miracles. Totally.
I do too.
I'm a product of rape out of St. Joseph's Orphanage. I'm 66. I can look back and say, wow, should have died there. Should have died here. I now can see how I've been kept to be of service now. We have to return to a moral core to survive this. But the institutions, the inflection points of the institutions, for example, in Arizona, the Attorney General's office, the governor's office, they are taken inflection points. The chiefs of police in Tucson and Phoenix were taken. Remember, I think it was last year, the year before, Phoenix PD dared to arrest some Antifa guys. What happened?
Jerry Williams lost her job. Yeah.
They lost their job, and the assistant chiefs were investigated themselves. So that inflection point was taken. That's espionage and sabotage. That's exactly what's going on. And that's why I say it's really the intelligence branch of our government doing all this, because for someone who's familiar with this, like for when I looked at January 6th or I looked at Brazil, it's very clear that there are covert teams running all this. And it's very clear that it's happening. But again, the real descriptor of fifth generation war is you don't even know you're in a war. The first rule of war is know when you're in one. And as long as people think we aren't in one, then we're going to continue to be murdered and massacred.
Yeah, it induces passivity with the people, too, because they don't see the threat. You're exactly right. Yeah, I'm pushing, in the hope that we have an election, I'm pushing the anti-incumbent movement. The GOP's lost. We see it here in Arizona. They did more to steal the election in 2022 with Kari Lake than the Democrats did. They did the ballot stuffing caught on video, but they didn't do the voting machines. The voting machines was done by uniparty GOP members. And so we've lost here, and that's why there's no solution in Congress. There's absolutely no solution. They're not coming to Donald Trump's defense. They're not talking about child trafficking. They're not talking about drugs. I mean, there's very few of them that speak up on these critical issues. And why I think Maui is a false flag among all the things you mentioned, no warnings, is because who in Congress is standing up and getting after FEMA, getting after the governor of Hawaii and asking questions? Nobody. Nobody. These people are on their own. Tulsi Gabbard walked through a neighborhood that survived in Lahaina, and she had someone filming, and I watched this last night. At least she's there doing something, and these people are helping people. There's no formal organization. In other words, here's what I'm saying. When it comes to drugs, kids, and all the other trafficking and all the criminal behavior, we're on our own. This government doesn't give a crap about us, not one of us.
No, you're exactly right. And you know, there was a call where I saw the Tulsi Gabbard thing too, and at least she's a vet. I'm always anti-incumbent, and I always prefer vets. You know, all politicians like fish start to stink after a little bit of time. But people jumped into the ocean, and the Coast Guard picked them up. Well, what's the executive order you just saw come out? Biden just put out an executive order saying, hey, I'm going to delegate to DHS who can accept resignations of Coast Guard officers, and we can promote up to ensign. Why is that? Well, that pesky Coast Guard actually pulled Hawaiians out of the water that jumped in the water because the cops told them to jump in the water. And so they want to consolidate that power too. But you're right. Gabbard toured citizens responding, veterans responding, and there's 20-year veterans of GWAT and also homeschooling moms that are consolidating together. And again, as the corrupt, this is classic unconventional warfare, is as the government becomes more oppressive, the parallel structures become stronger. And as the government continues to more and more of a tyrant, the resistance raises. Now, I'm not advocating anything illegal, immoral, unethical, or violent, although the left does blatantly and overtly and constantly. But we just got to leave all these institutions completely. For example, as a DEA agent, or as a DI intelligence officer, I have to have confidential human sources to do my job. I wasn't in a marked unit in a uniform as a DEA agent. So I've got to have human sources. So we're seeing them lose human sources more and more. So I had Team America go by Ray Epps' house in Arizona. I equate Ray Epps to Oliver North, somebody from an intel agency comes and says, hey, you want to do a secret spec ops is for your country? And the naive Marines go, oh, yeah. And then they're lured into that, and then they can't get out of that.
They've turned on Epps. That's what's interesting. Yeah, I was the victim of some Epps colleagues when I was calling him out for what Tucker Carlson was showing on his show with Ray Epps encouraging people to breach the Capitol the next day. And what I got was these calls of harassment, calling me every name under the sun, trying to disrupt my show. So, yeah, he was clearly an agent, but now they're prosecuting because we called attention to him, and it's an embarrassment for them. Hey, we're out of time, but I want to say this to you, too, and extend an invitation. Anytime you want to come back, I want to have you back because we barely scratched the surface, and I want to thank you for what you're doing with the kids. But take just a minute and tell people how they can follow your good work over at AMP News.
They can follow the Prather Brief on Mondays and Wednesdays at ampnews.us. And American Media Periscope supports Operation Underground Railroad and all other child rescue operations as well. So, you know, thanks for having me. It's I've admired your work for a long time, and
thank you.
I'd love to come back.
Well, I think you're going to hear when you get to heaven, good job, my faithful servant, because what you're doing is really almost beyond description with courage. Thank you very much, Jeffrey, for coming on. And I certainly would like to have you back.
Thank you.
Take care.